Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
Number to join us, 216-474-0092. We'll be taking some more phone calls coming up in a little bit. But joining us now, he is a big-time columnist for MLB.com. He covers baseball like nobody's business. He started covering the Guardians as an intern back in the day when they were called the Indians. He's our local guy. I wonder if he's as dumbfounded about all this as we are. Let's find out. Anthony Castrovince joining us on the Fan Hotline. Hello, Anthony.
Hello, boys. How are you?
I must tell you, I've not been able to get over this. And okay, Guardians are red hot. That's amazing. It's yeah. Stunning. Tigers collapsing on top of it. I mean, yeah. Both of these things had to happen. Neither one is likely. They both did. And now the Guardians have a chance to win the division or get into the playoffs with a wild card. It's stunning to me that both of these things have happened because it doesn't happen in baseball.
No, it doesn't. And I've seen, you know, there's a lot of discussion on which is more amazing, the Tigers collapse or the Guardians surge. But, I mean, there's no wrong answer there. But the Guardians have done it in the head-to-head. I mean, it's hard to win five games in this environment in a row against a division opponent, much less one that, you know, as poorly as they're playing right now, the Tigers do have a quality roster. They wouldn't be in this position otherwise. So, you know, they went in the Bronx a couple weeks back and won a series against the Yankees. So, I mean, they still have it in them to win baseball games. It's just they cannot beat the Guardians right now. It's an incredible thing to watch. And you watch, a Skubal start fall apart with one just truly bonkers inning, like even by guards ball standards. You know, they don't hit a ball past the pitcher's mound and are able to come back there. So it's really just been – it's historic. It's alarming. It's everything. None of us can believe what we're seeing. You could watch literally more than 100 years of baseball and not see what we have just seen in the last few weeks.
So is it an uprising or is it a collapse? What tell me what you think, and then how do you think it plays nationally?
Yeah, if I have to pick one, because the answer is both. The correct answer is both. But if you have to pick one, I'm here in Cleveland. I'm going to go with uprising. And I think that the pressure that they have placed on the Tigers has caused them to collapse. How about that? Like, I don't know if the collapse happens unless you have somebody in your rear view every day getting hot and doing what the Guardians have done, you know, away from their games against the Tigers. And then these two get on the field and there's something about the Guardians' style of play that is just completely unnerving and unraveling the Tigers. So it's the Guardians putting the pressure on and causing the collapse. Let's go with that.
The pitching stat is unbelievable. The starters giving up two or fewer in 19 straight. Yeah. Did you, at the beginning of the year, I thought, okay, they have some question marks here in this rotation. Ben Lively was in the rotation. Luis Ortiz was in the rotation. It's stunning again that this organization has hit on 5-6 guys that have been able to be this effective down the stretch. Do you have any inside info on how the heck this team does it with pitching?
Well, and by the way, they traded their most accomplished pitcher. He had thrown a pitch for them this season, but Shane Bieber has pitched well down the stretch for the Blue Jays. So they traded their most accomplished pitcher and a guy who was said, you know, expected to deliver value down the stretch had the team been in this position, and then they weren't at the deadline and they get rid of him. And lo and behold, they're in this position anyway because they still have that pipeline and they still have Carl Willis, who I think is just, you know, an incredible resource in terms of helping a very analytically minded organization not keep their eye off the ball in terms of, you know, the mentality behind pitching. And, you know, you got a guy like Gavin Williams struggling at the beginning of the year, and there was a good argument to send him down. I know Carl Willis kind of stood up for him in that moment and said, no, this guy's got to keep pitching the big leagues, you know. Slade Ciccone. I always want to say Ciccone. We joked about it in spring training. We're both Italian, and both of our names are mispronounced. They're Americanized. So Slade Ciccone, who should be Slade Ciccone.
Wait, Slade?
I know that was just me misspeaking. No, Slade, that was me like
big joke. I know you.
So my guy Ciccone has really made the most to come to this organization, and that's not the first time you know that's happened here. So they're analytical, but they're also old school in terms of how they approach pitching, and I think that makes a big difference for them. But yeah, and the six man thing. I mean, that's kind of where the game has trended lately is to give starters 5 days rest instead of the what used to be the traditional four. We're seeing that more and more in MLB, and you know, they went to that six man down the stretch. It was a pointed thing. It was a scheduling thing with the doubleheader, you know, the Twins in their mind, and they really managed that very well. I mean, the results speak for themselves.
Let's talk about Stephen Vogt here. You know, that story, I heard it a couple times before yesterday, and then they talked about it during the broadcast. The thought of blasting music and having fun after losing a game in Minnesota before they came back just seems like this novel idea, but he recognized that his team has been playing great, and so what? We lost one game. We got to pick it up because, I mean, we've watched this team all year. We saw them streak. They took a loss. In the back of some people's minds, they're like, oh, boy, I hope this doesn't go the other way, even after one game. But then he recognized what was going on with his team. I thought the point last night was, you know, last year was your rookie year, and that this year he has got to have learned so much more about being a manager. Your thoughts on Stephen Vogt.
Yeah, what can you say? Just an incredible start to a managerial career, and to come into a situation where you're replacing a true legend, you know, in the dugout. That's a difficult situation. On top of all the roster concerns they had last year, going into last year, they weren't counted as a contender. He recognized early that he had something special brewing in that bullpen, and he really put the foot to the floor with that. I thought, and I think we have seen that at times this year, like that did have a lag effect, you know, going into this year. You know, Emmanuel Class A, beginning of the year was struggling, of course, you know, uncharacteristic for him. You're just going to have that, you know, when you push the bullpen so hard one year, it's hard to repeat that the next. And they have not repeated that historic performance, but lo and behold, they've still been able to go on this late season run because of what we mentioned with the way the starters have performed. And, you know, he does push the right buttons, generally speaking, in the bullpen. And, you know, they've had some unheralded guys really step up there, the Sobrowskis of the world, you know. So, or I think of, you know, Colby Allard coming in the other day in a big spot in Detroit and had to pitch in a couple weeks. I mean, that stuff is, that's harder than it looks, man. So, I give him a lot of credit for, you know, keeping things steady. And this season could have easily spiraled. It really did spiral there. You lose 10 games in a row just before the break and you're 15 and a half back. I mean, they were dead by any mathematical measure. They were dead. They had a 0% chance, basically, of winning this division. And so how do you not let that spiral? How do you come back from – I actually believe their Fangraphs odds a month ago were 0.0%. Now, I'm sure if you take it out a few more decimal places, there must have been a one in there somewhere.
Right.
And they found that one, to their credit. It's just really – it's a mathematical miracle.
Anthony Castrovince joining us from MLB.com. We can talk about the pitching all day long. Have they found something here? Angel Martinez, Brian Rocchio, Gabe Arias, George Valera, John Kenzie Noel, Petey Halpin, CJ Cephas. Now, they're not all doing big things right now, but that's a lot of young guys who are up here and getting at bats and playing and helping this team right now. Have they stumbled onto some guys here that might be something?
I don't know. Yo, Angel Martinez is a really fascinating player to me because I can't tell you how many times I've called up his stats this year thinking there must be something that looks good on paper. You know, he's got like a negative war. He's got a sub 700 OPS. He just doesn't have good numbers. There's no way you could look at his numbers. Like if you had not watched his team and you looked at their season stats and you came across Angel Martinez, you go, well, this guy stinks. But I don't know, man, I've watched him all year. I'm like, this is a good little player, you know.
I kind of like him too. I know.
Yeah, you plug and play, and just I don't know, his energy—it's so bizarre to me. So he's the perfect example of how you know, baseball can go beyond the numbers. You know, it really can. So it's weird how a team can come together late like this. Now, they offensively, you know, they were deep in the red in run differential going to September. They were literally, you know, by OPS, they were as bad as the Pittsburgh Pirates and dead last in MLB going into September. They've come alive offensively, and I've had, you know, Bo Naylor has been terrific. CJ Cavis has been terrific down the stretch, but there is some bit of, you know, mathematical magic taking place there as well offensively, where, you know, they're able to string an inning together like they did against Skubal the other day. They hustle, you know, those things play. Now, do you want to, you know, build your team like that every year? I still can't advocate for that. You know, as much success as they had last year and this year, I would still advocate for getting a banger in the lineup, a guy who can play every day and hit the ball over the fence. Like, that would sure be nice to have, you know, to augment, you know, what they have in Jose Ramirez and Stephen Kwan. But my goodness, I mean, it's amazing what they're able to get with what they have.
Is there any way you're tinkering with the rotation here?
No, just let it ride, man. This is, they have a real momentum going. They're feeding off of each other. They're using the extra rest to their advantage, with these guys. And no, it's just let it ride. You know, there'll be a tough, matchup.
If for some reason Sunday becomes a must win, probably flipping Williams back into that spot, right?
Yeah, probably. But, boy, I know they're really hoping they can avoid that scenario and just get this done. If they win tonight, man, it's your magic number is down to one.
Right.
And you're in a really good spot. You know, just win one game against the Rangers Friday or Saturday, or expect the Tigers to lose a game Friday or Saturday, which seems pretty likely. So, yeah, I mean, that stuff is something. They'll cross that bridge when they come to it, but I know they're trying to avoid that.
Mm. Anthony Cassidy.
Because you think about the advantage they would have. Let's say it's the Tigers in the wild card spot.
Right.
Whoever it is in the wild card spot is likely coming down to the final day of the season, it would appear. And that means whoever you are playing will have burned their best pitcher on Sunday and then has to come here on Tuesday, you know, if you win the division. So that's just a great scenario where you could have, if you could have your rotation reasonably rested and your opponent is not rested and you're hosting those three best of three here, I mean, that's a really good spot. Mm-hmm.
What would you think? I don't know how this would play. Guardians, Tigers in the playoffs.
Well, the only problem there is just, the law of averages, right?
How many times
can you beat a team in 3 weeks in baseball? It's really hard to do, but they've made it look easy last week and this week, but it's a lot harder than it looks. These teams know each other very well.
And I think that the overall series number is exactly tied or as close. Yeah. It was within one game. As of last night.
It's been a really fun thing to track in the last year, where they finally played, you know, the first time they ever played each other in playoffs was last year, which is crazy for as long as they've been around. But of course, you know, the playoff format hasn't always been this way. But it's pretty nuts how the all-time record against each other is so close.
I think this is usually overblown. In this case, I don't think it is. Jose Ramirez is clearly, you know, the best player on this baseball team. And he plays the game in such a way that it's infectious. Mm-hmm. And most of the time, I think that's a lot of lip service. In this case, I don't think it is, Anthony, because of the way the young guys kind of follow suit and play in a similar scrappy style. Is there any validity to that?
Oh, absolutely. I wish, you know, I mean, we have limitations. We have so many numbers in baseball, and yet there's still an inherent limitation on it. I was arguing about this on Twitter this morning where, you know, I think Cal Raleigh should be the AL MVP. He doesn't have the offensive numbers of Aaron Judge. It's very clear. He's just shy of Judge. If you look at like Fangraphs wins above replacement, but how do you put numbers on, you know, getting dinged up behind the plate and the daily preparation with the pitching staff, and they've used 30 something pitchers and it's one of the best staffs in baseball. I mean, he's a big part of that. So it's hard. It's hard to get to a player's true value with numbers alone. And that's definitely the case with Jose. You know, how do you put a number on the money he left on the table, you know, for them to do other things? Granted, they haven't done much around him, but the fact that they're able to do anything around him is a credit to him taking way below market value contract. You know, maybe he might have left, he could have doubled the number perhaps. So, and then what you're saying, hustle, and how does that you know, bleed into a predominantly young roster. I think they have seven guys who are position players who've played 100 games for them and are, you know, pre-arbitration. It's still a young team, and it's still feeding off the energy of this dynamic 33-year-old who, you know, throws up 30 homers, 30 doubles, 30 steals every year. He's everything to them. So how do you put a number on that? You can't.
Agreed. I hope you'll talk to us next week, and I hope we're talking about baseball games and not planning the off season. Thanks, buddy.
Yeah, it looks good.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen and Anthony Lima. Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods. Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show. Your way and on your time.
On the line is Nick Costos, the host of You Better You Bet and Odyssey Sports Betting Insider. Insider calls are presented by BetMGM. Make it legendary. Check the latest lines on the BetMGM app. Catch You Better You Bet weekdays 3 to 7 p.m. Eastern. The You Better You Bet countdown to kickoff on Sunday from 11 to 1 p.m. Leading you up to kickoff on the BetMGM network right there on the Odyssey app.
Nick.
What's going on, guys? How are we doing today?
Oh, we are fantastic.
Well. How are you?
Well, I'm guessing not as... I mean, I'm a Yankee fan, and my team's in the playoffs. The Guardians have not technically clinched yet. But, man, what a week for Cleveland sports, huh? Browns beat the Packers. Epic collapse by the Detroit Tigers. Guardians now a full game up with the tiebreaker on Detroit. And betting market thinks that Cleveland's going to win the AL Central, and Cleveland's going to be a playoff team this year. You know, we talked last week. I didn't think it was possible.
Numbers told us it wasn't possible. You know, Nick?
This Tigers collapse is one for the ages, and that's not to discredit Cleveland and what Cleveland's done. They've had to win games, obviously. Like, they've won 9 of 10. The Tigers have lost 9 of 10. Just absolutely stunning that the Guards are 14 games over 500 and still have a negative run differential this year. Like, it's actually incredible, and you give them a ton of credit. And on the flip side, like, you can't kill the Tigers enough. So I think Cleveland sports fans should be pretty excited right now.
That's probably going to end, though, if they win today. I mean, if they need is one, they're too short on the negative. But you're right. It's I look at that, and I'm like, man, how are they doing this? This is smoke and mirrors. But if the Guards have to play the Tigers again next week, which would probably I'm assuming it would be here. But if the Guards had to play the Tigers again next week during the playoffs, how do you think the books will look at that?
I mean, well, what would you want to do?
I just think it's really, really hard to keep beating a team up over and over, and they'd be on a 6 or 7 game winning
Especially
streak against
a pretty good team.
I mean, the Tigers
they're kind of losers now, though. No, I'm not saying that to be a jerk.
No, I get it, but you know, it's baseball's a weird game. I don't know. It's the Guardians have climbed this mountain. You get to the mountain now. Let's okay. I've reached my goal of trying to get to where we are. Then you have to kind of wonder what's over the. Over Look, the horizon. I think the Guardians pitching staff has been amazing, best in baseball.
So. I'll just speak as a better, right?
Okay.
So if Cleveland has to play the Yankees or Seattle, like that's a different conversation. Not that Cleveland can't win, but the conversation's different. And I can be wrong with what I'm about to say. Like, I don't have to be right. But if this is how this is going to play out, right? Mm-hmm. And the Tigers somehow manage to hold on to a wild card berth, and the Guards, you know, win the division, and that's how this is going to go. And they play again in the wild card round or whatever. Why would I bet Detroit? Just like because they were good early in the regular season. Like, this collapse has been unbelievable, and they're just gonna like. Of course, it can happen that the switch gets flipped and the Tigers start playing better, and maybe they start beating Cleveland. You know, and that's the difference, guys. And like, and I love sports talk radio, and I love sports sports, just plain sports talk television. But when you introduce betting into the equation, right, there's a second question that has to be asked. Like, could the Tigers do this? Like, yes, of course they could. Like, anything can happen. But then the second question is, would you bet on it? So, like, if you wanted to bet on Guardians-Tigers with the way this season ended, with the Guardians owning Detroit at the end of the year, and assuming this continues, right, and they have the game coming up later this evening, the Guardians win the division, like, would you bet Detroit to beat them in that series? I wouldn't, which doesn't mean they can't win.
No, especially
win,
if it's here, I wouldn't. Especially if it's here. If it was there, I might think twice about it. So
I honestly, I might like it more if it's in Detroit. Because then they're playing in front of their home fans with the pressure, and that they will be ready to boo the hell out of that team the moment something goes wrong. At least on the road, you're kind of free of that a little bit, and you can just kind of be a little loose, and you don't have the pressure of your own fan base turning against you. And I tell you that as a Yankee fan, where every October, Yankee fans are waiting for the other shoe to drop and to boo the team as soon as things start going poorly. And that's going to be what happens with Detroit. It's going to be what happens with the Mets if the Mets make it and host home games with their collapse and how this has gone, which, again, doesn't mean that the results have to go that way. Just like, would you bet on it? I wouldn't want to bet on Detroit or the Mets at this point.
Nick Costos joining us. He's our Odyssey Sports Betting Insider. Let's go football here. If you have a Browns team that somehow came back to beat the Packers going to Detroit to play a powerhouse offense, you're thinking what for a man in your position?
So remember, I came on with you guys last week, and I didn't say I wanted to bet the Browns, and I didn't end up betting the game. I bet the under, which did win. The reason why the Browns were a popular bet last week was because the defense wasn't really, how good the defense was not really being accounted for in the betting market. With how well they played against Baltimore, despite the final score, like, your audience watches the games, right? You know that the Browns played way better than 41-17 in that game against Baltimore, and that they should have beaten the Bengals in week one. Like, if Andre Schmidt makes his kicks, if the receivers hold on to passes and they don't get picked off, like, the Browns should be 2-1 right now. So then that takes us to this game, where Detroit obviously manhandles the Ravens on Monday night.
Yep.
Detroit's a 10-point home favorite right now against Cleveland. And, you know, pending the injury report, like, we know the Browns' offensive line is not 100% healthy. Like, DeJuan Jones just got placed on injured reserve. Like, we'll see about Conklin and Betonio. So there's still some stuff to be figured out, guys, with this game, as far as injuries go for the Browns. But if the Browns are going to enter this game with, like, a relatively clean bill of health, I'm going to like Cleveland plus the points here. It's not going to be one of my favorite bets of the week, but yes, like, what do I want to do? I'm going to want to bet the Browns here, and I'm probably going to want to bet the under as well in the game. The total is sitting at 44.5. For as good as Detroit's offense was Monday night against Baltimore, I kind of think the Ravens' defense stinks. Like, it's not very good. And you can attack them up the middle, whereas the spine of this Browns defense, especially, and like, how jacked up were Browns fans watching Mason Graham on Sunday? He was so good on Sunday. And Collins was so good on Sunday. Like, the interior of this defensive line is so good. I don't think the Lions are going to be able to run the ball on the Browns like the way they were on the Ravens. So at 10, assuming health for the offensive line, I would be interested, guys, in betting the Cleveland Browns. And I would like the under in the game as well, 44.5. The Browns are going to have trouble scoring on offense all year, and I do like their defense a lot.
All right, my friend, it's a busy time for us. Hope you enjoy it from your standpoint.
Well, me too. Wishing you guys minimal sweats winning bets the absolute very best of luck.
Of course, when Nick enjoys, Nick earns money. So that's good.
That's true.
Thank you, Nick.
You got it.
Nick Costos, our Odyssey Sports Betting Insider, joining us.
That was the host of You Better You Bet, an Odyssey Sports Betting Insider, Nick Costos. Insider calls are presented by BetMGM. Make it legendary for all of your betting and sports talk needs. Check out the BetMGM network on the Odyssey app.
Which member of the Browns has to step it up, folks? Which member has to step it up? There are a lot of folks you might throw into this one. I have one guy in particular, and I'm not even saying it's because of him in particular. We'll get into that next year on Basket.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen
and Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
Phelps.
Get the latest in Browns practice throughout the week right now on our YouTube channel. Daryl Ryder recaps each and every practice and game while featuring the best highlights from coaches and players during media availability as well as on the field action. So subscribe to the 92.3 The Fan channel on YouTube now and get all of the latest from Daryl Ryder on the Browns throughout the football season.
Welcome back to Baskin and Phelps, everybody. Browns going to Detroit. Chance to take on one of the best teams in the National Football League. A lot of folks think Lions are the team to beat in the NFC this year. I do. I think they're a Super Bowl team, and I think they have a chance to get there this year. And I hope they do. I think they're fun, and I think they're really good. I love the way they play. I love their offense and their defenses. Their defense is hungry, and I like the way they play. For the Browns to go there, Andy, and have any chance, I think there are some guys who have to step up. And I say the guy that came to mind for me is also the same guy that came to mind for you. And the thing about this guy in this situation, what's happened in the first three games, I don't think it's all his fault. And I don't think you can blame him and say he's not doing his job and that he's not playing well through his own reasons. But it's wide receiver Jerry Jeudy. And again, I don't think it's all on Jerry. He's had a couple of drops. Yeah, we've seen that. But Jerry's a real solid NFL wide receiver. And just the way it's gone for him this year, man, it's been a really rough start. He's had 10 receptions on 21 targets in three games. So in other words, they're completing less than 50% of the hookups when Joe's throwing to Jerry. Now, some of that's on Joe. Some of that's on Jerry. Some of that might be on the offensive line. You know, maybe Joe's having to rush stuff. Some of it might be on play calling and scheme. But, man, when your top wide receiver, and there's no question Jerry's the Browns' top wide receiver, when your wide receiver has 10 catches on 21 targets, it's like, wow. That's not going to win you football games, and it's not. He's also trending in the wrong direction because his yardage has gone down every game, and somehow against Green Bay, the offense was miserable, as we all know. But Jerry's performance, a big part of it. He had one catch for 17 yards on five targets. That's not going to get it done.
I'm going to go. I agree with you. It's Jerry Jeudy. He just has to hang on to the football. If he does, it changes everything. But it's not.
But he's got to. They got to get it to him where he can do something with it too.
And that's why I don't. This might sound trite or kind of easy, but it's got to be Joe Flacco. If you want to look at it another way, but Joe has got. And Andrew brought it up. And you know, if you were at the game, you saw it too. And it sometimes it's easier to see it if you're sitting in the stands. But there are receivers that are open, and he's not finding him. That flea flicker play was a disaster last week. It was a disaster, especially with there were multiple guys open on that play downfield. And I don't know if Joe felt like the pocket was collapsing too. Because when I went back, I was like, okay, is this flea flicker supposed to be a short yardage flea flicker, almost like it's a middle screen? At like that, I was like, oh, this would be an interesting call. But when you go back and watch that play, I think there were only two offensive linemen who were in front of him directly, and they were both off to the right. And then he got tackled to the left. So I thought it was an interesting call, but there were guys wide open down the field, and he missed them. I love Joe, but he has got to be able to find some of these receivers downfield. If they drop the pass, it's on them. But Joe's got to give those guys the opportunity to make a play. And so if you're asking me if there's someone else that has to step up, and it might sound trite because he's a quarterback and we know he's touching the ball on 50% of the plays, it's got to be Joe Flacco. It's got to be.
It's that combination, certainly.
Yeah.
You know, when you look at the offense has been miserable. I mean, we can all look at Quinshon Judkins and think, hey, there's something there. And guess what? I think there is. But this offense has scored 16, 17, and 13 points in its first three games. I mean, goodness gracious, that's not going to get her done. Fred's in Maple Heights. Hey, Fred.
Hey, you know what? Hey. I was thinking the same thing. Like I was just explaining that. What I think it is that if you look at Flacco, he's throwing the ball downward, you know, down towards the dirt, man, which means the receivers, Jerry Jeudy, them, they got to go low and get it. You're sending them guys across the middle of the field to go down and get balls. And, I mean, guys I talked to that played the linebacker spot, I mean, that's a dangerous position to put your receiver in. And that's just what I'm thinking. I'm thinking he don't got the arm strength or to go down there. I know the pocket doesn't stay open long.
Like, I'm not disagreeing with you. He does have the arm strength to do it, though. That's the thing. I mean, I don't think he has the legs to do it. I do think he has the arm to do it. So it's this big conundrum.
So then, then we're on the same thing. It's something that's stopping him. It might not be the arm strength. It might be, again, the legs. It might just be he's gotten older and he's not as mentally as sharp as he used to be. I mean, that happens to all of us. It's going to happen at some point. But you got to get that. It was happening with Amari Cooper. Amari Cooper was dropping the ball, too. And if you think about some of them passes, they were because you were sending them guys across the middle down there to scoop a ball. You looking for a concussion. That's all I wanted to say.
Hmm. All right, Fred, thank you very much.
Thank you.
When you look at this team, it's hard. I think it's actually hard to come up with other guys and think, all right, who really needs to step it up? Because it's so clearly those two guys. You know, Joe's throwing a lot of passes, Andy. All right, well, if you're gonna call for your quarterback to throw a lot of passes, then you guys better hook up. I mean, that's your combination right there. You know, if that combination's not working, it brings up this question. Well, then why the, you know what, are you throwing the ball so much? Why are you doing that? Your number one quarterback right now and your number one wide receiver aren't connecting, and you're leading the league in pass attempts for a quarterback? I mean, that's silly. Go run the football. But if Jerry can get one of those Jerry Jeudy games where he can bust out and get 150 yards, get 8-9 catches, and that's quite possible, then all of a sudden this might be a different looking offense. You know, I like Cedric Tillman. I've always liked Cedric, and he's still a young guy coming around. And you look at the other wide receivers, Isaiah Bond, all right, our fingers are all crossed. I think the problem is most of the other guys at the skill positions are young guys who we think, okay, well, we have to be patient there. You know, you still have to be patient with Harold Fannin, even though Harold's been terrific so far.
Yeah.
The running back, Samson and Judkins, okay, understand, got to be patient there. Jerome Ford's not getting the same opportunities because he's clearly behind Judkins.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't get mad at him. Thrash isn't getting, you know, a huge opportunity yet. Bond isn't getting a huge opportunity yet, and he's only been here a month and a half or whatever it is. So, I mean, when you look at the offense and why it's struggling so much, it can be, I think, only four things. Quarterback, top wide receiver, offensive line, and play calling. You know, some combination of all of that is why this team hasn't scored more than 17 points in a game this year.
Yeah, I'm looking through Flacco's spray charts as we, you know, we were talking about this. I've been going through it the last couple of days, and it still is pretty amazing at how many times he has thrown the ball. He's thrown the ball 60 times under 20 yards. 60.
Yeah, that's,
under 20.
That's dink and dunk from a guy who's got a big arm.
Yeah, and so from 1 to 10... he's thrown the ball 30 times with 20 completions, 66.7 percentage from 1 to 10. And that's pretty much what we've been watching him have the most success with. If you go to 11 to 20, he's also thrown it 30 times with 18 completions. It's about 60%, so it's a little bit more. But when you hit that 21 to 30 yard, he's averaging about, I'm just looking at it. He's only completed 14 of 30, and his completion percentage is 46.7. That's where it's got to grow. I mean, if you want him to step up, it's got to be 21 plus on some of these, and he's got to be able to find the receiver. I bet if you go back and look at that last run that he had when he was with the Browns the first time, that these numbers would be completely flipped and everything over 21. When they were putting more than 21 and they were scoring 30 points a game, he was throwing for 300 yards. I mean, that was where he was. Now, maybe it's just age that he's kind of, you know, regressing that way. But I just think I don't think he's seeing the field.
Will's in Olmsted Township. Hi, Will.
Hey, welcome.
Hi, how are you guys?
Good.
You know, I'm really frustrated that people are blaming Joe Flacco for his quarterback performance, but it's up to the offensive line. You know, he's not given enough time to look at the field and make the good decisions.
Well, they are playing with 3 out of 5 normal tackles. So, I mean, the point is valid. The question is, you know, does he have the best offensive line in front of him? It's a mix. I'm not going to sit here and say it's all on Joe, but we need Joe to raise to another level to be able to beat teams like Detroit next week. At some point, this team has got to find a way to score 21 points in a game with the offense. Otherwise, it's going to be loser city for the rest of the year. They've got to start scoring more than 21 points. Every team in the NFL basically walks into the stadium and knows they're going to get to 21, except for the Browns.
Right. I know, but it's just so frustrating when we've known that our offensive line has been bad for several years, and he hasn't done anything to upgrade it. I mean, our defense is the best in the league, but what about the offense? You know, it's like they concentrated everything on the defense and not the offense.
Not necessarily. Quinshon Judkins, Harold Fannin. You tried to bring in Isaiah Bond. You signed late. You tried to bring in some guys, Dylan Sampson, on the offensive side of the ball. But I think we're seeing right now the investment in the defense has definitely paid off. If you're on hold, stick with us. We can get to your phone calls. Daryl Reiter is our Browns beat reporter. He's going to be joining us here in the 1 o'clock hour. Browns are going to Detroit. Guardians trying to finish off Detroit. It's a big week in Cleveland, isn't it? It's Baskin and Phelps here on The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.